today on Real Radio.
Today, the Christian community, the world is filled with tell me what I want to hear books. Tell me what I want to hear pastors. Tell me what I want to hear pulpits. And God says, I'm not in it.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, now in a message called Eyes On, Ears On, Part 3, continues a series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter. You know, Peter lived out his life as a true man of God. He didn't start out that way. Peter was quick to act and very slow to listen. Still, Peter's heart was in the right place, and Jesus began to use him in a mighty way. Peter's letters are a testament of how the Christ follower can move from needing constant strength and encouragement to having a combat militant kind of faith, armed with the truth and ready for battle. Eyes On, Ears On has been the title of this three-part message. It's not a term that we hear every day, but if you're living a combat style of faith, it might sound familiar. Eyes On, Ears On is a military response that says you're watching, you're listening, and you're really ready for anything. As it was in Peter's time, today we need combat faith, as there are those who preach a different gospel and are bent on spreading their lies and deception that lead many Christians astray. So today, on day two of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that false teachers, in their teaching, will never sleep and will come on to you with love, but speak nothing of hell, repentance, or the narrow path that every true believer follows. They cheapen the gospel, and they hate the biblical Jesus who suffered and died to give us the real good news of eternal life in heaven with Him. And now in his message called Eyes On, Ears On, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The word here, look back at 2 Timothy 2. The word exploit means this. This is a remarkable word. The word exploit here means that they travel to where you're at, and they traffic with you. So they go to where you're at, and they get in the stream of where you're at, all for the motive. Now, here's how I see that in my mind. They come to you, and notice false prophets and false teachers will always go where the money is. You don't see these bozos preaching prosperity in the slums of Mexico. They go to where the money is. They come in right alongside, they blend in, and in my cartoon mind, they're going through your pockets looking for loose change, whatever they can find. And God condemns it. Then he uses the word deceptive words. This is remarkable. Get this out. This is going to blow your mind. How many of you own something that's plastic? Raise your hand. Are you guys all awake? All of you are supposed to put your hand up. We all own plastic stuff. You see the word deceptive? The Greek word is plastos. It's where we get the English word plastic. Now, some of us are old enough to remember the birth of plastic. Is it plastic? What is that? It's plastic. I don't like it. Do you remember that? How many of you are never mind. You guys, I remember. Oh, poor kids. Listen, I remember when Matchbox cars were all metal. Remember that? I remember when Hot Wheels, listen, these poor kids today, they don't know what speed is. Remember we had Hot Wheel cars, they were made out of metal. And when you get the metal on that orange track, metal. Today they have plastic. It goes down the track like a feather. We had metal Hot Wheels. Fast. No, he says they're going to come along with plastic words, words that are moldable. They'll take any shape. Listen, it fits perfectly with the challenge of in the last days, churches and Christians will heap up to themselves teachers that will tickle their itching ears. Give us pastors and teachers that will form words to our liking. Give us plastic words. Don't give us that word of God that is immovable, this word of God that is eternal, this word of God that is true. I want to have words that mold and shape to the moment. Isn't that convenient? And the Bible warns, 2,000 years ago, the scripture warned about words being used by those who feigned themselves and pawned themselves off as Christians and ministers to give you words that are plastic, that will destroy. I'll paraphrase this for time's sake. Write the reference down if you would. Jeremiah chapter 14, beginning in verse 14. God says to Jeremiah, through Jeremiah, these people that are listening to these false prophets, just make sure you tell them this, Jeremiah, I didn't send those false prophets. I have declared judgment against Judah, against Israel, and they're going around telling people everything's going to be fine. I didn't send them, but the people want to hear from them. And so today, the Christian community, the world is filled with tell me what I want to hear books. Tell me what I want to hear pastors. Tell me what I want to hear pulpits. And God says, I'm not in it. Poor Jeremiah, you know, he was a teenager when God called him. He was just a kid. And God told Jeremiah, this is what I want you to say. And Jeremiah said, I'm not going to say that. And it was great. God just waited. And then it said, Jeremiah said, I determined to shut my mouth and I would not speak what God told me to say. And then Jeremiah said, his words were in me like a fire consuming me. And I had to speak. And when Jeremiah spoke, he said, because you guys have turned your back on God and you've gone, listen, hello, today's news. Because you have engaged in pagan worship practices by sacrificing your firstborn child to these pagan gods, abortion, Moloch, Remphan, God says he's going to judge you. He's going to destroy this nation. In fact, already the hoofbeats of the Assyrian army's coming. And they laughed at him. They laughed at him, then they beat him up, and then they threw him in a hole. You can go to Jerusalem today, and archaeologists believe that they have found what's called Jeremiah's Grotto. You can look it up. Is it Jeremiah's Grotto or not? We don't know. We just know that it is an ancient, nearly 3,000-year-old prison. It's a subterranean prison that you lowered the prisoner down into. There's no way of escape. And it was filled with mud and mire. And it's understood that Jeremiah was in that place for giving people the word of God. No, these will exploit you and rob you blind. They'll take advantage of you. But that's not, listen, are we supposed to give? Yes, there's a way to give. But listen to what Paul said about giving in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Starting at verse 6, this is Paul writing to the Corinthians, and he says, but this I say to you, he who sows sparingly, he who sows a little bit will also reap a little bit. That's okay. He's not putting you down for that. Shimon, honey, here comes the bag. Put a nickel in there. That's between you and God. Do you understand that, people? Don't let anybody tell you, you got to give this much. Ooh, listen, leave it on the screen. While I'm here, another little tidbit about the cults. When you fill out all the forms, there's a line there somewhere that they ask you to give the routing number to your bank account. And you don't give, they take. Any of you in the Mormon church? I have family in Utah, not Mormon. Mormon friends. You sign on the dotted line, your number comes out automatically. David says, I will not give God anything that doesn't cost me something. You say, yeah, but I'm still giving. But listen, it's incoherent. It doesn't mean anything. You understand that? It's not from the moments. It's not from the heart. It's not a practice you do. It's an auto pay bill. And I don't think that warms the heart of God. I'll prove it to you in a moment. But he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. You give a lot, God says, well, then it's the law of sowing and reaping. It's a spiritual law. Now let's be honest. Are you listening, everybody? Yes. If you give a little bit, you're going to get a little bit back. God bless you. What are you going to get back? That's up to God, is it not? If you give a lot, you're going to get a lot back. Get what back? That's up to God. I don't know. You mean if I give a lot of money, I'm going to get a lot of money back? Nope. You could. It could be health. It could be peace. It could be joy. I cannot, no man on earth can define what his dividends pay. Are you hearing me? See, why give to God at all? Doesn't he own everything? Oh yeah, he does. Listen, we give to God because he commands it, because listen, it is a healing for our heart. We are wicked people. We hoard it up. And he says, give a token back to me of that which I've given you. And if you do that, it'll keep your heart balanced. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6, godliness with contentment is great wealth. Did you know that? People who are bound with covetousness, this is a trick. Oh, no, they never say this, but inside, I want. There goes the offering. Bink. Then bink. I want. And they're thinking, I'm going to save and keep and for me. And the Bible says in the book of Malachi, have you not robbed God? You always want, but you never have enough. And if you had it all come to you at one time, it would still fall out to the bottom. And the Bible says, watch out for those. Watch out for riches, because riches can sprout wings and fly away, says the proverb. What's the point? Love God. He'll take care of you. He says, my children will never be seen begging bread or being naked. Okay, you'll always have clothes and you'll never have to beg. That's all that God has promised us. Anything other than that, how many pairs of shoes do you own? If you own more than one pair of shoes, you're rich. Think about it. Think about how rich we are, how blessed we are as a country. Okay, but I'm still in 2 Corinthians 9. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly, not or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. The word cheerful is, where we get the English word, hilarious. Now, don't do this here. But the word means that when you give, you're supposed to have hilarity. Now, don't do that. We don't want that to happen here. That's in your heart, fine. But you're supposed to be excited about it. The real believer, the true believer, or the obedient believer realizes, wow, God made me so rich this week. I had oxygen in my lungs all week. Thank you, Lord. How much for that? Blood coursing through my body. Could you imagine if God sent you a bill? Well, Jack, your heart beat 400 million times this week, and I charge you one penny a beat? Does he do that? He does not do that. He invites us to invest in the kingdom of God. If you attend this church, we have a surprise for you. On the day of judgment, you're going to see what you did. There's things. Remember how Jesus said, do not let the right hand know what the left hand's doing? Many things you know about. There's things you don't know about. You're going to be finding out that you housed and took care of families in Los Angeles who would have been homeless if it weren't for you. Literally, you. You. Do you know this? You put up and re-established people in their homes when Katrina wiped the South almost clean. You put people back into homes in the tunes of hundreds of thousands of dollars to multiple many families. You did that. When the federal government would not let people be fed because of the hurricane devastation, you guys gave some of your cattle, had them butchered, and sent with a police escort across borders to Louisiana. At the covering, and with the covering of then Governor Bobby Jindal. And you fed thousands of people when the federal government couldn't even get their barbecue started because of permits. I'm not joking. On and on. You're going to stand before God on the day of judgment, and you're going to find out that you ministered to 700 Muslim children every day, 5 days a week, 9 months out of the year in West Africa. And they're going to see you in heaven, or they're going to say, thank you for not only giving me food, you gave me Jesus. This is going to happen. You're going to meet families from Russia. You're going to meet families from Israel. And on it goes. I can't wait for that day. The day of judgment, when the church stands before Christ, all things are going to be revealed. It's all going to be laid out there. And you wonder how it's going to go for some. Which brings us to the next argument. We're getting close to being done. And that is the cheapening of the gospel. This cheapening of the gospel. It says their judgment has not been idle. This is a terrifying word. People, listen. It means that their judgment has been, it's been written out. Watch, like mail. It's been written out. Put in an envelope. Stamp is on it. It's en route. They're over here. It's coming. It's arriving. Their judgment's arriving. Number one, it speaks about at the moment of their death. At the moment of their death, the judgment will come. But ultimately, there's the great white throne judgment where all charlatans and unbelievers and those that practice wickedness will stand before God, Revelation chapter 20. But they cheapen the gospel in the meantime. They don't believe they're going to be in hell because they don't believe that there's a God that's going to do that. They deny the existence of hell. Or they believe it's metaphorical. Last week, we showed you about a false teacher that doesn't believe that he believes everybody in the end. Remember, the love of God wins and nobody goes, there is no hell. And maybe you saw the news this week. It's amazing to me how God is so good to us at this church. We'll make mention of something and then it comes out on the news a couple days later. We made mention of you last week about the false prophet, false teacher, Rob Bell. And then we find out this week after the Packers game, Green Bay Packers, what's the quarterback's name? Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, some time ago, departed from his Christian faith and became a disciple of who? Rob Bell. Doesn't believe in the Bible, doesn't believe in hell, doesn't believe in the God of the Scriptures, and now is alienated from his family, the great quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. Gee, I'm wondering if him being worth millions of dollars has anything to do with Rob Bell reaching out to him. I don't know. Cheapening the gospel. Listen to this. Philippians, are you guys okay?
Yes.
All right. Philippians 3, verse 17. Philippians 3, 17. Strap your helmet on. Watch this. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us as a pattern. For many walk, of whom I've told you often and now even tell you weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on $57 million, $54 million jets. Earthly things, fleshly satisfactions, and desires. Jude chapter 1 put it this way, woe to them. The word woe is uai, not Hawaii, that's paradise, uai. It means damned, condemned. Condemned they are. For they have gone the way of Cain, and they have greedily run in the way of Balaam for profit. Balaam was a prophet of God who turned his story for money. He sold out and perished in the rebellion of Korah. These are spots in your love feasts. Wow. While they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. It means that when we get together, it means they're with us, they're among us, and they're only thinking about themselves, what they can get out of it, not what they can give. Christianity is a faith regarding other people. Did you know that? It's all about others. Not these guys. They look at Christians and they think, what can I get from them? It happens here all the time, people. Some of it is so ridiculously obvious. When someone's opening a new restaurant or business in the area, all of a sudden they come to church here. All of a sudden, oh, Pastor, come on over and we'd like to detail your car. We'd like to give you a free meal. We would like to... you name it. Lisa and I never fall for it. You want to know why? Because first of all, it's the first time we've ever seen them. We never see them again. And you know something's wrong when they're inviting you to their service or whatever it is, business that they have, and they pull out about 25 cards in one pocket and hand it to you. You know what? That means there's 24 other people going to get that card. They're here to merchandise you, to use you. Jude is talking about it. They're with us without fear. No respect, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water. How many of you are from California? Raise your hand. Now, I don't know how it is right now, but at first service, it was foggy and it was dewy. You know, dew? We were so excited, we didn't know what to do with that. Why? Because in Southern California, we get all excited if a cloud comes by. Most clouds that come by don't rain. They just go by. The Bible says false teachers and false prophets are like that. Oh, hope. Oh, oh, oh. No rain. Nothing worse to see a cloud and it doesn't rain. They're carried about by the winds. Late autumn trees without fruit. First, what I think in my mind, first of all, is every autumn. Don't you like to drive up to where there's seasons over here? You know Oak Glen? You ever go to Riley's Farm? Apple harvest? You know, we're so blessed. It's summer here most of the time. But then we drive up there. Was that like an hour drive? You're up there all bundled. You got your scarf on. You look like normal Americans. Picking apples like Americana. Look at us. It's like we live in Wisconsin or something, but we don't. We pick some apples. We're all tuckered out from the big apple harvest. They bake the pie, and we have the cheese and the ice cream on the pie, and then we come back down and put on our bathing suits. Nothing worse going to a tree that's supposed to have fruit. There's no fruit. Jesus said that. Israel, I've come to you. It's your season. No fruit. False shepherds and false churches and false ministries produce false hope. Oh my goodness, a mirage it turns out to be. Streams in the desert until you get close enough and it's nothing but a sham. Any ministry that does not preach the gospel and there's a whole lot of them is false. Watch. Listen, are you listening? We're ending. I'm going to give you the false gospel right now. Listen, this is false. Listen carefully. Believe on Jesus. Open your heart up to Jesus. Accept him as your Lord and Savior. Listen, this is all false. Become a follower of Jesus. Put your faith in Jesus. Are you listening to me, people? I am not giving you the gospel. I just gave you false doctrine just now. Are you listening? Every single event when Jesus and the disciples preached the gospel, they all said the same thing in the same exact chronological order. Are you ready? Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. The word repent is metanoia. Metanoia means have a different thought, 180 degree change of thinking about Christ.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in his message called Eyes On, Ears On, Part 3. Thanks for joining us today. Eyes On, Ears On, Part 3 is part of Pastor Jack's series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter, a series about the Apostle Peter, whose life was transformed by the salvation of Jesus Christ, and whose passion was to live out his faith as a messenger of the gospel. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, just a reminder that Pastor Jack has a lot more to offer at his website. Just go to jackhibbs.com, and once you're there, you'll find devotions, sermons, more Bible studies, prophecy updates, and so much more. Combat faith requires a knowledge of the Word of God. The more you know, the less likely you are to fall for false Christianity. Peter warns us not to be ignorant in the things of God, and dedicated his life in spreading the truth found in Jesus Christ and in the Word of God. Again, if your desire is to know God in a deeper way and you want to understand what it means to truly follow Christ, head on over to Pastor Jack's website. That's at jackhibbs.com. One more time, jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.